I know. You know that? His sweetest name, I know. Does anybody have anything before we go to Lord's Prayer? Chris had an opportunity, I don't think he gave you an opportunity to say anything during Sunday school,
sorry.
But if you have anything to share, you'd like to share, please do. It's so good to be here this morning, Well, let's go to Lord's Prayer. Sister Pam, will you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you one more time for letting us come back to your house, Lord. We thank you for the peace and the sweet spirit we feel here this morning, Lord. We just ask that you would be with each and every need. You know the ones that have the needs this morning, Lord, look much better than we do. We ask that you would be with the Wilson family this morning. Lord, just give them grace. Just help them know that you're there with them. And you'll wrap your loving arms around them, Lord, and help them through this. Lord, we ask that you would be with Brother Ricky as he brings the message this morning. Give him the words to say that we just be able to apply that message to our hearts today, Lord. We ask that there's someone here lost this morning, Lord, that you would just touch them in a special way, that you just know it's so easy, just so easy to accept that gift that you offer this morning. We're so thankful again today for you being blessed. So with all these things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. You can be seated. Look at page 86. Everybody knows this song. Jesus' name above all names. Just a little chorus right here. Then we're going to go back and sing 79. Page 86. You don't have it. Good singing. Good singing. Does anybody have a word testimony?
Bless his name. Bless him. I'm the Lord.
I'm the Lord this morning. I'm the Lord. Sister Lane just, she testified this morning. She's got a burden for revival.
For sure.
And every one of us need that burden.
Yes.
Need burden. I need revival. I need revival. I need that blessed assurance. I need that blessed assurance. I need revival. Look, let's just think blessed assurance. Look the page up. Let's see. 572. 572. 572. Let's sing this song right here, Blessed Assurance. And I think, Kim, do you and Ricky have anything? Okay. Thank you.
Because of the one who lives in me, found every promise he ever made, Jesus will keep. Walk by my side in deserts dry, love me and help me when I cry. So let me sing you one more song in case I leave.
I know how I made it.
I know how I made it. God's amazing grace, steps that are slower now have taken, each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's stormy shore, I lift my trembling voice once more. Signs of the time reveal we don't have very long.
But each one here
stands upon this shore, waving goodbye as they rejoice. Glory to God, we'll leave here singing that same sweet song. Steps that are slower now have taken, each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's stormy shore, I lift my trembling voice once more.
Well, I appreciate what I've been able to feel this morning, and it's good to look back here and see this good number here at church today. I appreciate each and every one of you, and it's good to see Kathy, Benny's girlfriend, here with us, and it's good to have Brother Mark worked with you today.
Yeah.
And, him and his family here, good to see y'all. And we just want you to join in with us and go to meeting for a little while. And I have thoroughly got a blessing out of the service thus far. I really have the devotion about fear, and then the Sunday school lesson about why you would want to resort back to sin when Jesus Christ has a way for you that's just words can't explain today. But I want you to pray this morning. We're starting our revival, and as far as I'm concerned, it's starting this morning.
Amen.
And I want you to pray for Brother Ricky Statham. I always take it for granted that everybody knows everybody, but we've got some new folks that's been coming, and Brother Ricky, if you don't know him, he is Brother Michael and Sister Marilyn's son-in-law. And he's the father of these three red-headed young'uns here. And he's Kimberly's husband. And I know where he's at Brother Ricky just recently gave up pastoring the church that he was at on Straight Mountain. And if you've never experienced that, it's a tough thing. You get attached to people, you love people, but the Lord says that it's time to go, and it's a tough situation, I know, Brother Ricky. And Brother Bobby's recently been through it, and the devil will just beat you to death about everything, but we're so glad to have them today here,
amen,
with us.
Amen.
And I wasn't kidding, brethren, when I said that I feel a whole lot better having some more preachers on the bench with me. I was not kidding. I love y'all, and I appreciate you. And we're going to ask Brother Ricky to come. We asked him back last week if he would come and mind the Lord, and he said that he would. And so I want you to open up your heart and open up your mind. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you today. And whatever God would have you to do, you just do that. And I promise you today, if you will come to the Lord willing to let Him speak to you, no matter what the need is, maybe you just need some encouragement. Whatever it is, the Lord provides that need. So, Brother Rick, if you'll come and you just carry it out anyway,
bless Him,
Lord leads.
Happy Lord.
Well, what a long journey. 4.5 years since I've been here, I guess. Not I've been in service, but I guess the last time I stood here and preached was over 4.5 years ago. People at this church were good enough to ordain me and to pray for me as I went my way, and I'm thankful to see that y'all have grown very, very much. And as I listened to the singing this morning, I say this, I enjoyed the singing at Straight Mountain, but I think I would put the singing of this church up against any other in the country. Not because of the songs that you sing, but of who you're singing to and who you're singing about.
Amen.
If you would turn to Psalm chapter number 145, Psalm chapter number 145, and stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. If you are able to stand, if you're not, position your heart in the way that it is standing in before God.
God bless you.
We're going to read all 21 verses, but I will read as quickly as possible. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible action. I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy.
Amen.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth.
Amen.
He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, and he will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for your reverence to God's word. I thought about a prayer that a preacher I like to listen to. His name is Alistair Begg, and he's a Scottish preacher. And he begins, and it's a very short prayer. He says, God, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. And then he says, amen. That's the prayer, but that's the prayer that's enough. You're going into revival, and don't look for me to walk away saying that you heard the best message you've ever heard, or I was the most charismatic preacher you've ever met. If that's what you're looking to, then I'm sad to say we'll go away with our heads held low. But I've also gotten to the point, Brother Bobby, that many men of God who are called to preach, they don't have the desire to go when a man calls them. But if a man calls me to come preach, I've come to the point that it's my duty and my privilege and my calling to go preach. Now, that's not to say I won't be fearful standing up here. But every opportunity is a great opportunity to go and to boast of the Holy One of Israel and the God of all. And I said, you're looking for revival. And we won't do so by looking to the inside of us and setting aside a little time for revival. We won't do so by stealing away from work and on our lunch break and just thinking about the people of God. We'll do so by looking back to God and finding out who He is and what He would have us to know.
Amen.
We cannot start with us, Brother Chris, but we must start with Him.
Amen.
Yes.
That's why we sing the songs about what He has done for us.
Amen.
That song we sung, I've made it not based on what I've done, not based on what I did as an 8-year-old boy and coming before Him and bowing, but because of what He did for me on Calvary.
Sure.
Because it wouldn't have done me any good to come and to bow down and to say some words to the air if the God of the entire universe hadn't sent His Son to die for me and for you. But I'm an English major, and I like to ask the question, who is God? And before we can answer that question, we have to define our terms, Sister Linda. Because I've found many times we all sound like we're talking about the same things, but if we dig down and we define the terms in which we're speaking, we're not talking about the same thing at all. You can look at the talk shows of today, and they'll go out on the street and they may ask the question, who is God? And one of the questions, one of the answers that you'll get, we talked about it in Sunday school, is that God is love. That's well, and that's good. But let's define what you mean by that. Because today's world has a warped definition of love. And what most people mean by that when they say God is love is that God will just overlook everything that I've ever done. And a holy God would, or a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell. But we've not got the right definition of who God is. And the sad thing is that according to Pew Research in 2018, and this is very dated information now, but only 56% of Americans believed in the God as described by the Bible. Now we would need to delve in between those 56% and find out their definition of God. And the only thing that tells us about God is this book.
Amen.
So we know that revival emanates from God. We have to find out who God is. It's to Him that we look. And I'm afraid that if we ask those in the pew, that we wouldn't find the God of the Bible. I didn't come to beat anybody over the head. Y'all sure are quiet today.
God bless you, preacher.
But I don't need men to amen me, because I look to the God that I serve and the God that called me. And if He smiles down upon me, none of y'all matter. And I don't mean that in any ugly way, but if He smiles down and I obey Him and I make Him happy, then I can walk away. And you never have to call me back, and that's okay.
Bless you, Lord. You just.
But He's my master. And I want to get Him right.
Yes.
Happy Lord.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to call out my dad. But my dad has a tendency, and I wish he'd stop. But when he's referring to God, he'll call Him the big man upstairs. as if he's some grandfatherly figure, but that just lives upstairs and overhears us. Wear the shirt that says, and if you've got this shirt, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. How small of a view that we have of this great and mighty God. Thank you, Wayne, for how you described him in Sunday school. We've got songs, the awesome God.
Yes.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy.
Right.
Holy. Holy.
That's important.
I'm afraid we have a God of our own making. I'm trying to get into the scripture.
Help you, Lord.
But the commentator J.C. Ryle said, beware of manufacturing a God of your own. A God who is all mercy, but not just. A God who is all love, but not holy. A God who has a heaven for everybody, but a hell for none. A God who can allow good and bad to be side by side in time, but will make no distinction between good and bad in eternity. Such a God is an idol of your own. As truly an idol as any snake or crocodile in an Egyptian temple. The hands of your own fancy and sentimentality have made him, and he is not the God of the Bible. And beside the God of the Bible, there is no God at all.
Amen.
Now the world wants to say, well, that's not fair, preacher, that you're claiming that that's the only one. It's not something that I claim, but it's he who claimed. He said, I am the God, and beside me there's no other. We know that Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
It's not I that claim it, but it's he that claims it, Brother Bo. So Psalm chapter number 145, this is a psalm that David wrote. And from what I can tell, he wrote it in 1 Chronicles when he found out he wasn't going to build the temple. And that he knew that his son was. And I almost imagine as this is a letter that he would pass off to his son and tell him, you keep this by your breast and you read it. When you forget about who God is and when you're building the temple, take it out and begin to read it and look to God and his greatness and to look back and to remember who God is.
Man.
But he writes this beautiful, what we would know as a song. A song. And I thought Brother Chris would like this, but this is known as a psalm in G major because it talks about the four G's of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God. And this is a very important psalm if you were a Jew, because to this day they recite this twice in the morning and once in the evening. And God... this describes God to a T. And it holds him not as we hold him, but as he truly is. High and lifted up.
Amen.
Oh, that my view of God would be this great. Let's get into it. Verse number one. The Bible says, David says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. He exalts God to the place that he ought to be. This is David, king of Israel. David has more power than any other man in Israel.
Sure.
But he looks to God. And he says, I will extol thee. I will exalt thee.
Yes.
My God, O King. The earthly king calls the heavenly king. Kings don't bow down to anybody, but this king bows down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, I will exalt you, my God. This is Elohim. This is the God of creation. This is the God that in Genesis chapter number 1, let me flip over there. Genesis chapter number 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was out without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is the God that looks around and there's nothing and he needs nothing. And he says, I will make earth and I will make heaven and I will make man and I will make animals and I will make plants. This is the one that spoke and then everything came to existence.
Yes. Right.
Is this the God in whom you're looking for revival? Because this is the only God that can bring it.
That's right.
David says, I will extol thee, my God and my King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. This is not the God that you forget about and you get up in the morning and you go to work and you forget to pray and you forget about him, and all of a sudden a week down the road you say, oh yeah, I'm serving God. No, David said, this is every day that I come before you and I will bless you.
Amen.
Every single day.
Bless the Lord.
Now I know we're humans and we have faults and failures. I do too. But David said, great is the Lord.
Amen.
And greatly to be praised.
Yes.
And his greatness is unsearchable.
Amen.
Now, we do our best to come to this word and to preach from this word and to expound this word to you. But Sister Pat, we'll never wrap up who God is on this side of eternity.
God bless you, Lord.
This is the book that I read for my entire life. And I never understand God's greatness. David says, you're great, Lord, and greatly to be praised.
Yeah.
Your greatness is unsearchable. I like what Paul Washer said. He's a man of God. He said, the reason that we will spend eternity in heaven is because it will take us that long to find out who God is. Which means, folks, we'll never get there. We'll never get there. I believe we'll understand more and more and more, but we'll never get to this being that is God. The first three verses hinge on God's greatness. In verse number 4, we begin to talk about God's mighty works. David says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. This is something that's passed on from generation to generation. I'll tell you this funny little story. But we were headed home from revival one night. It wasn't the recent revival, but I had the privilege to ride with my son by myself, Elijah. And he began to ask me questions, and we played the 400 question game on the way home, Sister Linda. And he said, who made the grass? I said, well, God did. He said, well, who made the power pole? And I said, well, man did, but God made man. And we played this game all the way home. But later on, he will remember that it is God who's creator. I pray that he comes to saving grace and that he actually understands who God is. But this is something that's passed from one generation to the next. Not salvation. Don't go away saying I can pass it, because we can. But David says, one generation shall praise thy works. I wonder if it echoed back to Deuteronomy chapter number 11, if you turn there. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Verse number 18. And that's the wrong verse. Oh no, I'm in the wrong chapter. Now pray for me. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Verse number 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in a land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. In other words, this ought to be something that we rehearse night in and night out. As we lay down to bed, it ought to be on our lips. As we wake up, it ought to be on our lips. As we talk with our children, no matter how great or how small, it ought to be on our lips. One generation shall praise the works of another to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. We look at that word and we take our English understanding and we throw and we say, well, that's not a good way to describe God. No, that's the perfect way to describe God. His acts are terrible acts. There are those that you stand in awe of.
Sure.
And he said, the men of this earth, not necessarily the believers, but the men of these earths will stand in awe of your acts. I remembered, as I looked through this, back to the Exodus chapter number 7. I won't turn there. But the people are in bondage. God's people are in bondage to the Egyptians. And this is the greatest empire on earth at the time. And they have bukuks of gods. But God hears the cry of his people. And he goes and he finds this stuttering man out in the middle of the desert. He says, go unto Pharaoh. Who should I say sent me? What if your people reject me? Who should I say sent me? And he says, just say, I am.
Amen.
I've always been. I'm the one that was at the beginning. I'm the one that's at the end.
Amen.
I'm the one that knew you were here. I'm the one that knew you were walking this way. I'm the one that knew that you would turn aside because the bush was burning. Go tell him I am sent. And Moses goes before. God knows that Pharaoh is not going to let him go. Let his people go. Moses goes, and God begins to conquest Egypt. There were 10 plagues of Egypt. Each one of them attacked a god of Egypt personally. They had a god of the frogs. God sent frogs. They had God of the Nile. God turned it to blood. Now, the magicians could do some of those things.
Right. Could do them all.
And I wonder if God didn't just string them along a little bit and say, I know you can do this. But can you do the next one?
Come on,
and finally, they come and they stand and they say, we can't do anything like this. And the sad thing is that it took all the way to the end of 10 and after that for Pharaoh to let the people go. But the people of Egypt were standing in awe of this God. They could take and send a plague in one area and shield off another. I used to think when I was a child, when it rained one place, it rained everywhere. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God who can do something here and not do it here.
Right.
The God who has control. Men shall speak of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. I wonder, Egypt has never been the same, and I wonder how many times people looked and said, did you see what the God of Israel could do? But that doesn't mean that they followed him. But did you see his power and his might? Today we've even got physicians that don't believe. I'm thankful for those that do. But we've got those that they're not believers. But they'll come in and they'll say, that was a miracle. I got news for you, physician. It's the God that I'm speaking of that makes your medicine work.
Right. Amen.
I praise God for y'all that have gone. But if God don't want the medicine to work, it's not going to. He's in control of all things. God's mighty works. I'm trying to hurry.
Blessed Lord.
They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and they shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. People like to throw up. You are talking about the same God that flooded the earth, yes. He let it go on and on and on. but he was compassionate to look down and find a man called Noah. People say grace in the Old Testament, sure is. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
He didn't say that his family did. It said Noah did. And God looks down on his creation. They've gone haywire. Not that he didn't know that they would. But he looks down and he says, I'll preserve them.
Yes.
So that they can continue. What a mighty and wonderful God. Is this the God that you serve, the Lord? Is he gracious?
Yes.
Full of compassion. Slow to anger. And of great mercy. You know how I know he's slow to anger? Because I'd have locked Pharaoh's head off with plague one. But he went on and on. And he left. And he finally, he made a show of Egypt.
That's right.
The Lord is good to all. Did you know that?
Yes, he is.
Oh, but he sends people to hell. In a sense, he does. But do you realize that the sun came up this morning? We all need the sun to live. Sun came up. You, if you're not a believer, it came up for you too, right?
Right. Amen.
Were you able to rise on your feet this morning? If you weren't able to rise on your feet this morning, you still breathing?
Bless God.
God is good to all. And his tender mercies are all over his words. God's greatness, God's mighty works. Now God's kingdom. In verse number 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of man his mighty works. And the glorious majesty of his kingdom. I wonder what the world thought when God called this little man called Abram. And he said, go. And Abram said, where are we going? And God said, go. Not because they were mighty. Not because he was a great man. But because God chose him. And he makes of this man, a mighty nation. Now, when we think of a mighty nation, we think they had tanks and bazookas and all that. No. These folks, when they went into war, didn't have a sword most of the time. But can't you hear the cry of those in the book of Joshua when just two came to Rahab's house and she hid them? And she said, we've heard about y'all. Mm-hmm. And the hearts of our people do melt within us. This is a rinky-dink, ragtag bunch of people that most of the time when they went into battle didn't even lift a finger. Sister Linda. There were times God would send a wind and the other armies would just go crazy and just kill each other.
Right. Yes.
This is the God that I'm talking about.
Amen.
God's kingdom. We got a lot of people that look at God's kingdom and today I would say the church. And they'd say, what poor people. No. Not when you get to the true believers in the true kingdom of God. What a mighty people they are. They're the ones across the world that when you tell them, if you don't denounce him, we're going to kill you. And they said, go ahead. They may not worship in a bunch of elaborate buildings, but they love this God.
Yes.
Listen to this. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Verse number 13. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. We honestly think that America will live forever. And I pray that it does. But if we look back through history, all empires come to an end.
That's true.
Except for one. That's God's kingdom. God's kingdom will stand.
Yes, amen.
When the earth burns with fire, it will be God seated on the throne. It will be Jesus seated on the throne. And He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. The people didn't accept Him, Christ, when He came. You know why? They were looking for Him to go and to sit upon David's throne, His literal throne, and to sit with some crown on His head. And they said, some poor, weak man that we can nail to a cross.
God bless you.
What a beautiful King of majesty. You understand that while He was on the cross, the Bible says He could have called legions of angels.
Right.
Now, He wouldn't, and He didn't. What a beautiful King of majesty that would allow Himself to be nailed to a tree for me and for you so that we can be adopted into the kingdom of God. Oh, the Jews killed Him. No, they didn't.
Come on, preacher.
He laid down His own life.
Amen.
Amen.
He brought up His own life. He had the power to smite everybody there at Calvary. But instead He looked and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As the crowd shouted, crucify, crucify. He said, that one's in my kingdom. That one's in my kingdom. You want a king that will stand the test of time? This is the King.
Yes.
Which is why David said, my God and my King. God's kingdom will last forever. Last little bit. Y'all can all sigh. A sigh of relief. And I say that in jest. We ought to be the happiest people.
Surely.
Amen.
Surely.
Not when a man spits and hollers and does all of those things, but when a man proclaims God's word and exalts the King of kings, we ought to be happy.
Surely.
Amen.
I told him at church, and I told Brother Daniel Tidwell, he kept telling them to be patient as he preached a pretty long message. I said, listen, I've got to the point, you can sit to a 4-hour ball game, you can sit to a 30-minute message. But who do we serve? We'll exalt Nick Saban. We'll exalt... I don't even know you coach right now. I'm sorry.
Don't make
you freeze. We'll exalt them. We're excited when they have a press conference. We listen for 2 hours. But we're exhausted come Friday of a revival. When all the man of God's did has shown you the goodness and the greatness of God. Now, we'll be tired in body because we're human, but we ought to walk away revived.
Amen.
Why? Because we got back to God.
Yes.
Last, God's deliverance. No, I'm sorry. We got 2 more to go. Uh-oh. Verse number 14, God's provision. I'll hurry. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. It was God who heard the cry of those of the Exodus. They were in bondage because of their own doing. But they cry out to God, and He hears their cry. He finds this man called Moses who has all of the excuses in the world. And finally he says, Moses, I don't care. Go because I told you to go. He sends Moses. He brings them out. He brings them out. He delivers them. He provided for them. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. He's the one that when the people are roaming in the wilderness and they say, man, I wish we were back in Egypt. At least there we had, I can't remember what all they eat, but I think cucumbers was one of them. Crazy people. But we had this, and we had that, and we had this. How quickly they forgot.
That's right.
And instead of just wiping them off the face of the planet, God says, I'm going to send manna. And quail. And he sends it.
Yes.
And you know what he did? He said, get what you need for the day. And then he sent it again. And he sent it again.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then before the Sabbath day, he said, get some for today and tomorrow. And do you know what the people did? He said, we're tired of this, man. God. We're tired of the way you've provided for us.
Man.
Thou openest thine hands.
Yeah, sounds like us.
And satisfy the desire of every living thing. You realize this is the God who knows the sparrows. This is the God who made the cave for the bear. Who made the tree. Who made the twigs that the bird makes the nest out of. And Jesus tells us, don't you know that if he knows the sparrows, and if he clothes them even more than Solomon, that you don't have to worry? That's why Jesus said, when you pray, give us this, Lord, our daily bread. It's not, I've made my 2 week paycheck. I'll come back 2 weeks when I need you again. No. I need thee every hour.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes that ain't enough. I need thee every moment.
Bless him.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. Now, last point, I promise. God's deliverance. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, God sent Moses. Not only did he send Moses, but he sent plagues. Not only did he send plagues, but he got his people out. Not only did he get him out, but they're standing in front of the Red Sea. And they hear the chariots behind them. And Moses was doing his best. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And what's funny is God says, what are you doing standing here? I told you to go. There are times to stand still. There are times to go. Said, but there's a sea in front of them. Yeah. God said, you remember that staff? Raise it out. Stretch it out. And the sea parted and stood. The water stood on itself.
Yes.
Now, we as wonderful scientific brainiac people have said, oh, well, the sea that they were walking through was only this deep. Okay? And what a mighty God that can drown a whole army in water this day.
That's right. Amen. Bless you, brother.
What a great and wonderful God. The people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Yeah, they did. For what they did. But God sent them life to walk by.
That's right. Yes.
He sent them a cloud to follow. He delivered them. And he's delivered us. God is so great. Let me wrap it up. You've always got to get to Jesus. Let me wrap it up this way. God's greatness was demonstrated when he sent his son.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Christ, in perfect fellowship, in perfect relationship with the Father at the beginning. And I say the beginning, but they have no beginning. And the plan has always been that the Son would come. How great and how wonderful. God's mighty work. What a mighty Jesus that we serve.
Yes, amen.
That He would walk around healing people. Sometimes he'd been down spit in the dirt.
That's right.
Sometimes he'd speak from way off. There was nothing that he couldn't heal. Let me say this. We get a bad rap as Baptists for not believing that God can still heal. Yes, He can.
Amen.
He just don't need me to come touch you to do it.
Yes, amen. God bless you, brother.
Now, if I want to lay my hands on you, pray, there's nothing wrong with that. If I want to sprinkle you with oil, ain't nothing wrong with that. But the healing will come from that one.
Sure. Amen.
Amen.
God's mighty works. Jesus is mighty works. Jesus is kingdom. He comes. Jesus comes. He looks out. He sees fishermen. These were the lowest of the low. These were like the shepherds. He says, I want them. Not the Pharisees. He says, I want them. Because they'll trust me. And I'll build a kingdom. Can you imagine that funny looking group of people coming in? Building God's kingdom. God's provision. I always like to think back. And we're going to get to Jesus. Hang on just a minute. But this man called Abraham. God calls him. He says, sacrifice your son. Your only son, Isaac. And he takes his son. And he travels with a group of servants. And he tells the servants, he says, y'all stay here. We're going to worship. And me and the lad will come back. Now, we heard what God told him. He said, no, me and the lad will come back. And his son said, hey, we've got the wood. We've got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And what's he say? God will provide.
Amen.
And he laid out Isaac. We don't see that Isaac struggled. He lifts the knife. I got news for you. The knife was never fallen on Isaac. And God said, Abraham, Abraham. And here's this wrestling in the bush. God made that man a long time ago.
Exactly.
I can just see you. Go on your journey down. God made the provision when He sent His Son.
Yes, amen.
And God delivered us. Christ dies on the cross. Was taken down. Somebody said they tossed Him in a bar of tumult, didn't they? Put Him in a tomb. He rose again on the third day. He ascended to the Father. Why? To deliver us from sin.
Amen.
So that we can be reconciled to God. Is this the God whom you're looking to? If it's not, y'all don't have revival this week.
That's right. That's right.
I'm being honest with I'm thankful for this church and what they taught me many, many years ago. But it wasn't until I got out on my own and began to discover who God was.
Yes.
My grandfather was my pastor for 21 years. And my grandfather's a good guy. But there was a lot of Sundays I looked to him. Come on. And I looked to his God. Come on. And then I got over and tried to start pastoring people, and I realized, son, you don't even know who God is. I mean, you're saved. But you've never tried to really sit down and figure out who I was. Thank God that He revealed Himself to me through His Word. And He showed me how great He is and how wonderful He is. I told Him all the time, I said, I'm just the pizza guy standing out in front of Little Caesars twirling the sign that says Jesus this way. That's all I am.
That's all we can do, boy.
Because I can't save you.
That's right.
I can't. I got to talk with my daughter the other day. She's at that age where she's asking questions. And I said, baby, I said, the wonderful thing is that there'll come a time you'll need God. I said, but the better thing is that He'll be there. We like to ask, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? The better question is, how could a holy God send anybody to heaven? You see, we've got it all messed up, folks. He's great.
Amen.
He's wonderful. He's mighty. He's building a kingdom. He's our provision and He's our deliverance.
Yes, He is.
And Sister Elaine, I believe you do want to have revival. But you better look to God. And not just any. We got lots of groups claiming Jesus. Which one? Which one? Is He the eternal one? Equal with the Father? Is it that one? No, no, no. He was created. No, no, then we ain't talking about Satan.
Come on, preach. Bless Him, Lord.
Is He the one that was crucified for the sins of the world and was resurrected? No, no, no. He died and we buried Him. No, no, no. Then we talking about the same one. Is He the one that can calm the sea? No, He was just a good teacher. Then we talking about the same one. Be careful who stands behind this book bar. Define your terms. And figure out who we're talking about. Stand to your feet. Give us a verse of some song. It's only 12:06. I didn't do too bad.
Bless Him, Lord. 193. You won't even have to have your book on this one. God is so beautiful. We serve a great and mighty God.